All right, we are in a series that we've titled Reset. And in this series, what we've been looking at is this thing. Your electronics, they're not designed to stay on all the time. They're not designed to function 100% of the time, and yet we do. We leave them on. And what happens is as we leave them on, they develop glitches, things that prevent them from functioning in an optimal way. And in the very same way, what we have to do is we have to reset it. We have to power it down or we have to reset it so that it goes back to how it's designed to function. And it's the same way with our lives. Every one of us, we have these glitches in our lives that have caused us to live in a cycle of life. It can be a cycle of anger. It can be a cycle of resentment. It can be a cycle of doubt. It can be many different things in your life. Maybe you just have convinced yourself that I can't live this life that God wants me to live. And somehow we excuse it, justify it, and we end up living in this cycle, so to speak. We need to be reset. We need to power down. And small adjustments make big differences in our connection with God. These are small adjustments that we've been talking about. And here's the thing. Every single one of us in this room can do this. Every single one of us. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be anything extraordinary. We're all extraordinary in God's eyes. Any of us can do this. In fact, all of us can do this. The question is if it's so important for us, why wouldn't we make small adjustments that have big differences in connecting us to God? That's something that you have to come to terms with. What is it that prevents you from making small adjustments? Some of the adjustments we've already looked at are fasting. And we looked at fasting. I'm not going to go through the talk, but on your handout, if you want to fill this in, fasting resets our priority of God. It also resets things like our appetite for God. But it resets our priority for God. It puts Him first. It causes us to make a small adjustment. And listen, if you have not started your fast, I mean, we've been doing this for 21 days, and thank God we have 1 week left. Thank God we have 1 week left. But you know what? We've been doing this for 21 days, and maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what? I haven't done any of it. I haven't done it. It's not too late. You can join in this last week. You can say, hey, you know what? Remember, fasting does not get you God's approval. Fasting, you're not going to impress God with your fasting. This is about you. This is about resetting something in you that needs a greater connection with God. And fasting is one of those small adjustments. Listen, if it's one meal, then let it be one meal. If it's social media, let it be social media. But give up something so that you make God a priority. And that's what fasting does. It resets that. Another thing we looked at was prayer last week, and prayer resets our connection with God. I mean, we're here because we want a better connection with God. Hopefully, you're not here for the entertainment because you're not getting entertained. I mean, we have a great band and all that, but the truth is, we're here because we want a better connection with God. And coming here is a good start. It's a good thing, but it doesn't give a great connection with God. It just gives an initial connection with God. Prayer is a small adjustment that makes our connection with God greater, and it's something all of us can do. You might say, I don't know how to pray. It's easy. You talk to God like you talk to your spouse, or you talk to God like you talk to a friend. You talk to Him. We looked at that last week, that prayer is communicating with God. So you're not going to impress God with your prayers. God wants, prayer is relational. This week, we're going to look at something different, and it may not sound like a discipline, but it is. It may not sound like something that fits the fasting and the prayer motif, but what we're looking at today is this idea of community and how community resets us. Too many of us, even in this room, live alone. Too many of us function in life alone and disconnected from people. You can actually be sitting in this room and be alone. No relationship. Sure, you shake hand, but that's not relationship. There's a show on TV. They say that aloneness and isolation and loneliness can mess with your head. There's a show on TV on the History Channel, and it's called Alone. And what these individuals do is they go out into the forest. There's I don't know, 10 of them or so, and they go out into the forest, and they're isolated, and they're miles away from each other, and they have a few items that they're allowed to bring, and they have this walkie-talkie, and as soon as they cannot handle it anymore, they radio in, and a rescue team comes in and gets them. Now, they're exposed to the elements, they're exposed, they have to catch their own food, they have to make their own shelters, and they have to defend themselves from any predators, and there's a lot of predators. And I want you to, but the main thing that causes people to leave this show and to tap out, because the last one that's there wins $500,000. The thing that causes people to tap out is they literally lose it because of the aloneness that they feel. I want you to watch this clip. It's just a short clip. Whether you're alone in the wilderness, you can be alone still in urban America. You can be alone at home. You can be alone sitting here in this room. The problem is that it is deadly. We don't think that it's deadly. We don't really, because we get these surface relationships, but inside we really deteriorate. And that's what I want to look at today. I just want us to look at this idea of how are you experiencing community? Because community does reset something very significant in our lives. It really does help us connect with God in a greater way. Our world challenges us to live independently, and the busyness of our lives restricts time for other people. And in the same way, our hurts that we have, which all of us have hurts, they create this protection that protects us, and we think we're being protected from people because we've been hurt in the past. Here's what our goal becomes as we isolate ourselves. Our goal is this: to avoid people at all costs. And here's the problem. Cost us, it does. We don't see it. We don't really know that it's happening, but it does cost us in a big way. Here's why community is so important. You can fill this in on your handout if you'd like. Community is important because we were created to live in community. And truthfully, I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that at its core. I want you just to sit with you, that God created you to live in community. It's not just a slogan. It's not just a statement. It's not something that we just flippantly say. When God created you, He created you for community, not to live outside of it. When God unleashed His creative powers as He began to speak the world into existence, there's 6 times in the scripture where God looks at what He created and He says, and it was good. He created something and He said, that impresses me. That's good. And then there is also, as after God has, after the 6 days that God has been working and creating everything that's in existence, He looks back at all that He created, and He says, in Genesis 1:31, He says, God looked over all that He had made, and He saw that it was very good. Not just good. He looks back at everything, and He says, this is sweet. I did a great job. It's good. It's very good. And then He creates man. And He forms and shapes man into His own image, an image that reflects Him. And as He looks at this man that He created, He says, it is not good. Not by design, not because, oh, you know what, his nose is too big, or his ears aren't, just, they don't just look right, you know. Looks more like a giraffe than a human. Not in design, but in how He impictured, in as far as functionality, who man would be. He looks at man that He's just created, and He says, Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, we use that scripture for marriage, and it is a great scripture about marriage. But at its core, at the very center of that message that God is saying, it's about community. Whether it's a husband and wife or a church, God is speaking about community, and He says, in the functionality of this individual that I've made, it is not good for them to be alone. And now you have to understand this from, or I should say, we have to understand this. We have to understand this from wherever you're at, that when God created you, for you to live outside of community, He would say, is not good. That's not how I designed you to function in this world. In fact, you cannot function in this world living that way. because that's not how we were designed. Anything, any way that you function outside of community is not what God designed for you or me. I think within all of us at our core, there is a desire for community. In fact, I think that if, I mean, I know that some of you are younger and you won't get this, but I think that in all of us, the song rings out of cheers. You know, we want to be where everybody knows your name. We want to be in that place where everybody knows us. I mean, not just, hey, Dave, how you doing? But they know Dave. I mean, really know Dave. We want to be known at our very core, but there's a lot of things that keep us from being discovered and experienced as far as who we really are. I think a lot of us think that we are experiencing community when in fact we're really not. We get lost because of wrong definitions. Community is more than, and this is also on your handout if you want to fill it in, community is more than the number of friends that I have. I don't know how you measure your friends, if you count them on Facebook, or if you can sit there and think, okay, you know, I got these friends. You know, community is more than the number of friends that we have. While its friendships are good and they're a part of community, they do not equal community, as we'll look at in just a little bit. Another one is community is more than going to church on Sundays. Hey, you know what? Going to church on Sundays is great, and it's important. And you know what? We give time every gathering, 3 minutes to be exact. We give 3 minutes for people to meet people because that's where you get this first initial conversation. You get to shake somebody's hand. You get to know somebody for the very first time. But that, even in itself, is not community. Community is deeper. Also, community is not the family that we're close to. Family is important, and I'm not dogging family. Family is really important. But family is not community either. Here's what happens. Without community, we lose perspective on life. When we don't have community, we lose perspective on life. And in other words, what I'm saying with that is this. Our lows tend to be lower, and our highs tend to be higher. Our point of view will always get clouded because it only comes from me. It only comes from you. So when things are bad, they're really bad. The more isolated that you get, the deeper it gets. The darker it gets, the more clouded it gets. And we need others to bring clarity into our lives. In a spiritual standpoint, we forget that we're in a spiritual battle and we need people around us that recall that and that remind us of that and that pray for us in that. And we'll touch on that a little bit. Without community, we also lose because we develop a fear of intimacy. Over time, the more that we protect intimacy with people, the more we keep people at arm's distance, the more that fear grows in our lives. We don't have meaningful relationships. We tend to fear these relationships even more. For many people, they would rather stay disconnected than to fear rejection. It's a sad place that we get into. The fear of rejection becomes so great that we continually, that becomes one of the barriers that we say, you know what, I can't expose myself to that kind of pain. I can't expose myself to those hurts that I've experienced before in my life. We also lose because we become more selfish. We lose perspective, we fear intimacy, and we become more selfish. And isolation does breed selfishness. Because when my life becomes defined by my schedule, I become self-absorbed. We all do. The more that my life is about me, the more self-absorbed I am, and the less I think of putting others first. I put myself first. It's my schedule. It's my life. We all do it. Living without community is not how God designed us to live, and we need to reset that. If we look at the definition of what community is, according to Webster's, Webster simply says this, people with common interests living in a particular area. Now listen, you know what? We talk about community, you know, you live in a neighborhood and there's supposed to be community there. Just because we live in a certain area does not mean we have a common interest. And just because we have a common interest and just because we live in a common area does not mean that we are connected. Connection is intentional. We all have to be intentional in this and we have to begin to take steps, or what will begin to happen is we will wait for others to connect with us because of this fear of intimacy that we have. So, community that God designed, community that we need, is different than Webster's. But what does that look like and where can I find it? Seriously. We'll start with where we can find it. And it's this. Where we find it is, first of all, it's modeled by Jesus. modeled by Jesus. And simply put, we can see Jesus living in community with the disciples, but we can also see him living in community with God himself. He sought it out. He sought out time for prayer. He sought out time with the disciples and said, guys, let's get away and we're going to rest. Let's spend this time together. I mean, yeah, they traveled together, but they always found time for that connection of intimacy. Towards the end of Jesus' life, he prays, and we're given this great picture of what is important to him. What is on Jesus' mind as he realizes he's about to die? And he makes this prayer request. Jesus says in John 17:11, he says, Father, that you would make that they may be one even as we are one. Okay, so he's saying, he's talking to the Father. He says, Father, as you and I are one, may they be in one as well. Boy, that's a big request. Think about that. Look around in this room, and who is it that you can say I am one with? I can say I'm one with my wife. But who can I look around in this room and say, you know what? I know that they love me. I know that they back me. I know that they will protect me. I know that they will be with me through thick and thin. How many can you find in this room? Most of us, listen, most of us search that out merely in our marital relationships. And the problem is, that means my marriage is what defines me and what completes me. And that's not the way God designed it. Because you can have a meaningful, connected life whether you're married or whether you're single. Because God didn't design just marriage to be that place of community. He designed this church to be a place of community. Jesus goes on to say, and he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. He's praying for us now, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Boy, that is a large prayer request. And Jesus himself is praying for you and for me personally, that we would experience this community that we can't get in the world. Another place we find it. It's first modeled by Jesus. Then it's lived out in the early church. And a lot of you know the scripture, so I'm not going to read it in Acts 2:42-47, and you can go back and read that on your own if you'd like. I put it on your notes just so you would have the reference. But God called us as a church to create and function in environments of authentic community and where that authentic community can take place. And as you read it, you see that they met in small groups and they had everything in common and they shared what they had and they prayed for each other and they encouraged each other. And they had this small group of people, even though God was adding to them by the hundreds and by the thousands daily, those that were being saved, you still find this place where these people are going in and finding community. It's a part of what God is doing and changing in them. So it's modeled by Jesus. It's lived out in the early church. We also find it where it's experienced in here as far as connection groups. This gathering right here, as much as I love it and as great as it is and as important and significant as it is, this is not designed for community. This is designed to call us together to connect with God collectively. But connection groups, small groups, is an environment that we intentionally create for community to happen. And that's why we encourage everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming here. We have connection groups. We would love for you to plug in. Not because we need to see any numbers grow. That's not it. We want people in a connection group because you were designed to live in community. We want people to experience God through other people. If you're not in a connection group, gosh, there's some out there that you can look in the lobby and you can find. We would love for you to take, if you have any questions about that, come and see me or talk to Nick, talk to Jenny. We want to help you get connected into a connection group because that's where life change happens. So what does community look like? Community is a group of people that stretch me spiritually. And the question is, do you have anybody in your life that stretches you spiritually? Do you have anybody in your life that calls you and challenges you to a life that God wants you to live? Anybody other than me. I mean, sometimes we think that's my job. Dave's supposed to stretch me spiritually, and Dave's supposed to hold me accountable, and you know, that kind of thing, and that doesn't work. I've tried that. You don't want to be held accountable by me. But here's the thing. When we have people around us that we know genuinely love us and genuinely committed and genuinely are there for us and they care about us deeply, we open ourselves, we allow them to stretch us spiritually. In Romans 1, Paul says this, "I need your help, for I want not only to share my faith with you, but to be encouraged by yours. Each of us will be a blessing to the other." And maybe that's a better way of putting it. Is there anybody in your life that you have, that you're in committed relationship with, outside of your spouse, that draws you in and draws other people in, that you encourage spiritually and are encouraged by them? As we are stretched, we become stronger spiritually. Because here's the thing, spiritual growth happens in circles, not rows. These are rows. Spiritual growth doesn't happen here. It can, there's elements of it, but real spiritual growth happens in circles where we're in relationship and in communication with other people. It's in community where we're inspired through others to be who God wants us to be. Hebrews 10 says this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Community puts me in a place where I can look for ways to encourage people around me, people that I care about. If we want spiritual strength in our lives, we have to be willing to be stretched. Bottom line. If you want spiritual strength in your life, maybe when I say spiritual strength, I hope you understand what I'm saying. When times get really tough, and when you feel like, man, I can't do this, I can't go on, I can't live this life of following Christ, there's just no way, I can't do it. And you give up, and you say, that's it, I'm quitting. I'm walking away, I'm doing this. That is spiritual weakness. We don't have any faith, we don't have any strength, we have no sense of connection with God. There's no sense of the fruits of the Spirit involved in our lives. And so, consequently, when difficult times come, we often respond in discouragement because we're spiritually weak. If you want spiritual strength, which God wants for all of us, if you want that in your life, you have to be willing to be stretched. Being stretched happens in community. Another place where this happens is this. Community is a group of people that know me intimately. And as we tend to fear intimacy, because intimacy involves vulnerability, whether it's pride or fear that others are going to judge us, and you know what? Those sometimes are founded and sometimes unfounded, but these simply are defense mechanisms that all of us have, and it's not the way God designed us to live with defense mechanisms. We all have problems. We acknowledge that in our group. We all have problems. We all have hurts, and we all have hang-ups, every one of us. Myself included, we all have them because we're human. And we need people that don't just know us intimately, but care for us intimately, as we'll look at. Community provides a place to belong. It provides a place where we're accepted and valued. Here's what Scripture tells us in Ephesians. It says, "You are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." There's a sense of belonging. It's not just like, hey, this is where you're supposed to be. It's this is who you're supposed to be. It's not a place that we go. It's a person. It's who we are becoming, the church. This is also on your handout if you want to fill it in as a subpoint. It says, acceptance is only experienced. We all want to be accepted, right? I mean, that's what everybody wants. You hear it all the time when people, whether it's in the world or whatever, people want to be accepted. But acceptance is only experienced when we take the risk of vulnerability. I would say this, most of us do not take the risk of vulnerability, therefore we don't feel accepted. And then we take that, being unaccepted, and we push it on other people. They didn't accept me. The problem is we were never vulnerable. We were never transparent. We were never honest. We were never ourselves. We were afraid of that. The last one is this. Community is a group of people that care for me consistently. And I don't care. I don't know who you are. I don't know how long you've been following Christ. I don't know how mature you are in your faith. I don't know whatever it is, wherever you're at. Every single one of us need to be cared for. Every single one of us. We all need people that are going to come around us and pray for us when we're hurting. We need people that are going to remind us of God's strength in our lives and God's love for our lives. We need to be looked after. I'll tell you, It's really easy. A lot of people, this is why a lot of people are attracted to large churches, because in large churches we can hide. I'm not dogging large churches. I want us to grow. I'm not saying we want us to be a large mega church, but I'm saying I would love for us to grow, because that means people are coming to faith. But here's the deal. People love to go to large churches because nobody knows me. But I'm telling you, there are some sick people in large churches, just like there's sick people in small churches, because they refuse to be cared for. We refuse to let others encourage us, and it hurts us. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, then all of us suffer together. And if one member is honored, then we all rejoice together. When we isolate ourselves, we have no one to care for us. We feel no value. And it's not how God designed you to live. This sub-point under that is this. We are cared for best by those who know us most. Man, that's a profound statement. You are cared for best by those that know you most. And if nobody knows you, you're going cared for. And then you turn it and you say, it's their fault. And it's not their fault. It's your fault. We refuse to let others in. You want to be cared for best? Then let people know you. I know one thing. God knows you better than anybody. God knows every single thing about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your hurts. He knows your hang-ups. He knows everything, your failures, everything. He knows it. You can't hide it. You can pretend that he doesn't know. It doesn't prevent the thing. He does know. But here's the issue. God uses people to care for our needs. God uses others to care for you. So when we keep others at arm's distance, what we're really doing is we're keeping God at arm's distance. Listen, I know you might think you're strong. I know you might think, hey, Dave, I got it all together. I'm good. I understand that. You need to be cared for. You need to be prayed for. You need to be encouraged. You need to be valued. You need to be looked after. When you don't show up and we try to contact you, it's because we care. When you don't show up and you're not around and we notice that you're not around and we call you or we send you a note and we say, hey, you know what? We miss you. Just understand one thing. We care. And please don't make anything else about it. Don't make it something that it's not. Like we're trying to look over your shoulder. We're trying to manage your lives. That's the last thing I need. I can't even manage my own life. How am I going to manage your life, right? When we reach out to people, when your connection group reaches out to you because you're not there, they're not looking over your shoulder and not trying to manage you. They just care. And what I'm saying is let them care for you because you need it. God cares for you. I know that most of you in here today, I know you struggle with fear in this area. I know a lot of people do. Intimacy is scary to some. We run from it. I realize it's taking a risk and it's putting yourself out there. And I know that's not easy. I know that it's not convenient because we're all busy. I understand you want to hide because of your past, maybe. I even understand that many of you think you don't need it. You think like, you know what, I'm good enough, Dave, I'm all right. If I can just say this in the most authentic way possible, it is a small step to reset something significant in your life. Why would we not take the risk? If God is in the risk, why would we not take the risk? God has never let you down. And he won't now. Here's what this resets. If we allow community in and we become a part of community, it resets a life of intimacy with God and others. And listen, that's what you were designed to live. God, when God created you, he created you to live in intimacy with him and others. And just taking these small steps, you might not even think it's significant. You might not even think it's needed. You might think, you know what, I don't know. I want to put it out there just to encourage you and say, you know what? I know you can do this. because God put it as a part of your DNA of what you needed. Don't allow your fears to define you or to keep you from God's best for your life. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Of course, the greatest relationship of intimacy that God is looking for is a relationship that you and I can have with His Son, Jesus. And listen, before we become vulnerable with anybody, we got to become honest with God, right? And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're like, you know what? I've got to start at the beginning, and I need to get vulnerable with God. And I need to ask for forgiveness in my life. I need to ask for a relationship in my life. God is listening right now to every one of your prayers. He's listening to your thoughts and your heart. At this moment, whatever they are, He is listening to you. Talk to Him. Get vulnerable with Him, because vulnerability will lead you to intimacy. Father, we come to You this morning. First of all, I pray for everyone here, and whatever the barriers are and the fears and the things that they have allowed into their lives that have kept them from intimacy with You and with others, I pray that You would speak to their hearts. And more than just speak words, Father, I pray that You would remove the barriers, that You would remind them that You are here with them and that You care for them. You will not allow anything to happen to them that they cannot handle, and anything that does happen, You can handle with them. Father, I ask that You would remind them that You love them beyond their wildest imaginations. And even in their chaos right now, You step in and You say, I can make a home here because I can quiet the storm and I can speak peace to this chaos. Father, You created us. Your thumbprint is on our lives. The thumbprint and the identity of unity and love and relationship and encouragement, it's built into who we are. May we all come to live in that. Not just with our words. Father, help those that are afraid to take a step towards a connection group, just help them manage that fear. Remind them that You're with them, that it's not scary. Father, thank You. Thank You for the intimacy we share with each other as well as with You. It calls us to a place where we know we belong. It calls us to a place where we actually can experience You. In Jesus' name, amen.